This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
So, according to all on the beat out in Ashburn, three quarterbacks have made it onto the field for the start of practice, the part of the practice that is open to the media, and none of the three are Jaden Daniels. They are Marcus Mariota, Jeff Driscoll, and Sam Hartman. What does that mean? I have no idea. Are they playing it, you know, to just kind of keep some level of competitive advantage to make the Bears think that there's still a chance? I still lean he's not going to play Sunday, that it will be Marcus Mariota. But like I said at the beginning of this show, if he's healthy, like if he can be Jaden Daniels, don't hold him back just to show how protective you are of the franchise. Play him. This is actually a pretty significant game in the NFC, even though it's week eight. Jumping on with us right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline, is Courtney Cronin. Courtney's been covering the Bears for a few years. We've had her on the show before. And when she was covering the Vikings in Minnesota, we had her on the show. She does a lot of work for ESPN. You can follow her on X, on Twitter, at Courtney R. Cronin. She's the John Keim equivalent in Chicago. So, from your perspective, what are you expecting? Are you expecting Daniels or Mariota?
I mean, not unless they're playing 3D chess and are like, oh, we're just not going to have them out there for the portion that the media's out there because they don't want cameras. I think it's trending towards a third DNP. And by and large, very few players get the even questionable designation after a week of not practice like that, especially, you know, if you're a rookie, it's his first injury, it's a rib injury, he's taken hits in the pocket and also when he's been outside the pocket. I don't anticipate, at least at this rate, him playing, but you know, I guess we've seen stranger things pop up on injury reports before, but I think they're viewing this as, hey, it's week eight. Yeah, the game was flexed because the network wants to see this quarterback matchup, but you can't risk it. You can't risk it at this point of his career and knowing all that's ahead for Washington beyond the halfway point of the season.
So why have the Bears, Courtney, won three games in a row and played much better?
Well, their offense looks like it had a clue. Like, that's probably the easiest way to describe what we saw weeks one through three, where we couldn't figure out what the heck their identity was or what, you know, honestly, what they were trying to do, who they were trying to feature. Like, it just felt like a completely disjointed approach. One week you have them trying to run the ball. Next week, Caleb's throwing 51 times. Neither yielded much. And then all of a sudden, week four, they take advantage and they say, okay, like the Rams have a pretty bad run defense. Don't overcomplicate it. Try to commit to the run as much as you can. Change some of the personnel usage at the goal line and in various situations. And that worked, and that ended up opening up more opportunity for Caleb Williams to get, you know, his plethora of talent around him involved. And him playing point guard, it's something he's had to learn to do. You know, you heard Cliff Kingsbury talk about it yesterday when he was asked about his relationship with Caleb and their time together at USC. And I thought the thing that was, you know, pretty obvious and kind of Cliff saying the quiet part out loud is that, you know, he big play hunts. That's what he did, right, at USC. There'd be times where he wouldn't take the check down. And, you know, that's not meant to be a knock on Caleb. It's just something that I think he's had to grow out of. In the last couple weeks, you've seen him do that.
Yeah, the point guard description is a really interesting one. And the Kingsbury quote was very, I agree. It was very, you know, kind of giving you a reveal on Caleb at USC anyway. How have they gotten him to dial it back? Is it all Shane Waldron? I've seen, you know, we've seen some quick game. We've seen some screens. Just talk about the big difference in how he's been able to sort of, you know, go from big play hunting, holding on to it too long, to getting it out quickly and being more of a distributor.
Yeah, I think part of that has to do with the offensive line. They've been better. In recent weeks, they've made some personnel changes once Nate Davis got benched, and they've been able to move some pieces around up front. So they're giving him a deeper pocket to work from. And we know he's like really accurate. He might be a check down king, but he's really accurate when he's throwing from the pocket. And that was early on. And then, you know, what was the element that was missing going into like the quarter point of the season? It was the deep passing game. And so building towards that came from the screen game, the quick passes. Once they started going no huddle, that was, I think, a big point of emphasis for this offense in trying to be more efficient, because they haven't started out games great. Like, the opening drives have not yielded any points, and that's probably from their self-scout the biggest thing that they learned, or at least they want to try to improve upon when they get into week eight and they're playing a game again after the bye. But it's, you know, the efficiency factor here for Caleb and getting him to realize that there are so many pieces around him. He doesn't have to do it all himself. At USC, he had to do it all himself, and that's a hard mindset, I think, you have to break for a quarterback who's a competitor, who has been used to being put in a position where he has to play hero ball, more or less. He doesn't have to do that in Chicago. And as the offense has gotten better, as they figured out personnel usage, what their identity is, how they can get DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet, Roma Dunze, and DeAndre Swift all involved in the same game, they've been able to get better play out of their quarterback and more efficient play from Caleb.
You know, Caleb at USC had the same issue that Jaden at LSU had, and that is they had two of the worst defenses in the country. And you described hero ball. You know, a lot of Jaden's hits were because they couldn't afford to punt at LSU last year. And it was the same thing for Caleb at USC because they couldn't stop anybody. It's different with Chicago, and we'll get to them defensively in a moment. I'm curious as to what DJ Moore and, like, early in the season, there seemed to be some frustration from DJ Moore when it came to his quarterback. You were there, maybe it's something else and I'm not representing it well, but was there frustration and has that changed?
Yeah, there was absolutely frustration, and DJ has not been shy about admitting that. And I think there's different types of frustration, because I've been around it before. Like, I go back to 2019 when Stephon Diggs is so frustrated with Kirk Cousins that he doesn't show up for practice going into week five, and it was DNP for personal reasons or unexcused, whatever it was. That frustration becomes a distraction, because then you're fighting off trade rumors and, oh, I didn't say this, I didn't do that, and then he forces his way out of there. That's a negative frustration. I think what DJ did was constructive frustration that led to changes. Like, you can be irritated all you want. If it doesn't actually yield any change, then what's the point? You're wasting your breath. And to see Caleb become bossier, that's how DJ put it. And it's not meant to be a bad thing. It's tongue in cheek, but it means he's taking command of the offense. He's telling us, like, via the iPad, or he'll draw it up. And, like, when they're looking at plays together, like, hey, run it this way. Run it, like, this is how I'm seeing it. This is where I'm at in my drop. This is where you need to be. Run it this way. He's 22 years old, mind you. Like, that's not something that I think comes naturally to a lot of quarterbacks. And, I mean, especially when you're dealing with veteran receivers. Keenan Allen's been in this league for 12 years. DJ's right. Been in this league since 2018. It can be a little hard when you're that young and that green and you're the rookie to tell guys, hey, you've been doing it this way. That's not going to work for me. We've got to do it this way. And that helps. Like, that, I think it's natural when you're a competitor and things aren't working out to wear it on your sleeve. And that's what DJ did against Houston. And he regretted it because the cameras were showing him, you know, he wasn't demonstrative. I didn't think it was that big of a deal, honestly. Like, he wasn't throwing his helmet. He wasn't, you know, he might've been moping on the sideline, but that's just his face too, which I think people need to realize. Like, he's, you know, doesn't need to be smiling all the time, but it's just, it's a good thing that it happened when it did instead of later in the season, because I think it gave them something to work towards and figure out how do we get out of this place that we're in right now and get towards a point where we're comfortable expressing, hey, I don't like X, Y, and Z. Let's get on the same page and let's fix it before it gets out of control.
Yeah, that's a really good explanation. And, you know, we Terps sometimes, it's hard for us to find joy in a lot of things. We are talking to Courtney Cronin, who covers the Bears for ESPN and ESPN.com. So let's flip it to the other side of the ball. Jalen Johnson is a monster again, right? Where is he right now on the cornerback list in the league?
I mean, he's up there. If he's not like 1, 2, or 3, then I think you're looking at the wrong list. You know, the passer rating that he's allowed into his coverage, receptions allowed, but they don't throw at him that often. And that's just a byproduct of him being a really good corner that quarterbacks are afraid are going to, you know, give him a long day. That's why a lot of the targets go opposite way to Tyreek Stevenson, who's had a really good year, I think. And I mean, he missed the Jacksonville game with injury, but he was off to a really good start through the first 5 games. There's a reason they paid him. Like, he's a, you know, one of the better cover corners in the NFL, and he's gotten better. Like, last year it was get the takeaways and then you'll get paid. And he did that. He came away with a team high in interceptions and, you know, led kind of that onslaught at the second half of the season once Montez Sweat got here. In the team really, like, just, you know, taking advantage of that, but they're built on that. And so for Jalen on the back end of the defense, everything starts and ends with him. It's a very talented secondary, but there's no question who the leader of that group is and who the most talented player of that group is. I just, for whatever reason, he doesn't get the national pub I think that he deserves. I mean, you remember in August, the top 100 list comes out and that's voted on by players who, right, I don't know if they're really putting that much thought into it. But he wasn't on it, and he wasn't shy about how annoyed that made him. And that's okay. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong. It doesn't mean you're egotistical if you're expressing that you should be on this and this list is a joke, because it is. And I think that that sort of stuff is not manufactured motivation, that stuff really does feed into, you know, where he's at mentally right now going into a year after he got paid and after he proved himself.
How about the rest of the defense? I mean, it ranks very highly in a couple of key categories. Brisker, I don't know if he's going to play Sunday. Maybe you can update us on that. But why have they been effective defensively? In part, maybe it's the schedule, right?
Yes, certainly. I think that you can't ignore the fact that the Rams, they have a great quarterback. We saw him last night. At that point, though, in week 4, they didn't have Puka Nacua. They didn't have Cooper Kupp. So it's a little different. It looked different then. And then, of course, Carolina's not very good. Jacksonville's not very good. I think that's part of it. But it's a team that, like, their biggest thing this year, of course, the takeaways are there. They're second in the league right now, I believe, with 13. And it's the forced fumbles. Like, they had 6 all of last year. They have 6 through their first 6 games. That's a really big stat in terms of those sudden change moments that can lead to more opportunities for your offense to get back out there. And I know that they're like, I mean, it just kind of like speaks to like the whole, you know, Chicago defense. Like, Peanut Tillman played here. He invented the peanut punch. That's like what they practice on a daily basis.
They've just always been good at takeaways. It just
seems really, like, I mean, that's what Eberflus's defense is built on. Yeah. And they've been, I'll say, like, with the pass rush was supposed to be, like, the biggest question for them this year going in. We weren't sure, like, at this point, would we be talking about them trying to trade for somebody at the deadline, or, you know, would they have found a way to work it out? Javon Dexter at the 3 technique position, somebody they drafted 2 years ago.
That's number 99, right?
It is. I mean, he's a force. He's got, you know, the sack numbers are there. I mean, the only real blemish you can point to on this defense is the run defense. And, like, they're not giving up, like, hundreds of, you know, 100 rushing yards a game, but it's some bigger plays. Like, Kyren Williams was averaging about 5 yards a pop because there were some big runs that factored into that, but they're still getting stops at the end. The red zone defense is really good. Third down defense is one of the top in the league. And they, for the first 3 weeks of the season, they had to carry the offense. Like, it was kind of an out of body experience for them 2 weeks ago when they're in London. And they're expecting, all right, we got to get back out on the field, and the offense is extending drives. But that was not something that they had dealt with all that often, and I think it's a nice welcome change of pace for them.
Talking to Courtney Cronin, so from your standpoint, what are the keys to Chicago beating Washington Sunday? And let's just assume that it's Mariota.
Yeah, I feel like it's at this point, that's what you have to prepare for. The key is going to be, can this offense start faster than it did? Because we know even with Jaden not playing last week, they still started fast. With Jaden getting hurt, Mariota going in, like they put up 40 points on the Panthers. Like I didn't think the offense changed that much just based on what they were asking Marcus to do versus what they were asking Jaden to do. And that's a sign of a tough team when you don't have to like scrap your game plan and you can go ahead and call some of those same plays, knowing that Mariota is going to be extending the play a little bit longer and be willing to hang back there, unlike Jaden, who would probably be taking off a little sooner. And you still have the threat of the running quarterback, of a mobile dual threat quarterback. So I think for Chicago, offensively, it's getting out of their own way on those first couple drives to be able to contend with an offense that we know can score a lot of points.
So what do you think happens?
I mean, with the line moved, I saw that the other day, and you get it because of the quarterback change, but I feel like Chicago's at a point now that this offense kind of feels like an out-of-body experience based on the amount of points that they're putting up. 35 in back-to-back games is a lot. I don't know if they'll get there this week, but I would venture to guess it's probably a 30-27 win for the Bears, knowing where they left off at the bye and knowing just like on the health side of things, at least on offense, they've got the advantage there.
What is the expectation with this start? You know, 4-2, a chance as a 3-point favorite now to get to 5-2 in just a loaded division, but Minnesota lost last night. Are the expectations building for kind of this team being a playoff team this year?
The whole division trending that way, and I think Bears fans were kind of waiting with bated breath to see what Caleb would amount to after, you know, the first three games. Nobody should judge a quarterback like off the first couple games of his rookie career. I think that was a lesson that we all had to learn.
Definitely,
but this is, you know, now that you see the possibilities and like, oh, okay, like I see why he's the number one overall pick. It's a good chance for this team to they've got to make their ground now. Like they can't just wait until they start thinking they're going to win games week 11 when they've got six division games in the final 8 weeks. That's way too, like, that's just, you got to win the games now. You got to beat Washington. You have to beat Arizona, New England. Those are all winnable games within the first 10 weeks of the season. And so for Chicago right now, to be racking up wins against the teams that they should beat, that on paper they are better than, and then showing in the game in reality that they are the better team, that's why people are thinking, okay, maybe this is a wild card team. Maybe there will be three, even four, which I know is like absurd to think about, but not everybody from the NFC North can make it, in my opinion. I think they'll get three. I think it'll be the only division it may be that we see in the NFL playoffs this year that gets three in. But,
I mean, it could be the first ever to get four in.
I don't know. I feel like they're going to end up beating up on each other so much during that final 8 week stretch that it's going to end up knocking things around a little bit. But it is wild that the black and blue division, the division that's supposed to be built on defense and run games, like has some of the best offenses in the NFL. It's not normal if you were to ask people who like grew up around this division, even when it was the NFC Central years ago.
One more for you real quickly. What is the state of the stadium in Chicago, like the new stadium, Arlington Heights or wherever it's going to be, and what kind of stadium it's going to be, and what do Bear fans want?
I think they want a stadium as soon as possible. And the fact is they could build in Arlington Heights today if they want to. They own the land, but Kevin Warren, team president and CEO, has been adamant that their focus still is the Chicago lakefront just south of Soldier Field. There's a lot of holdups, though. We're in an election year. The governor of Illinois has been pretty adamant that he does not want to use taxpayer dollars to fund a public stadium. And that's owned by a private entity that, you know, yes, would be used for the greater good of Chicago, whatever. But the straw that's going to be that's going to break the camel's back is that with all these sessions, there's a legislative session in November, a special one in March of next year. If they don't get the sign off on public funding, what are they going to do? They're sitting on a plot of 326 acres out in Arlington Heights. At some point, they're going to have to say, if they can't get it done in Chicago, well, we tried, we're going to go to Arlington Heights, which they could have already had a shovel in the ground by now. And I know that that's probably frustrating to some fans, but like, of course they've been trying to keep the team in Chicago. They feel that that was, you know, a play that they wanted to explore. And after all of the politicking back and forth with the city, back and forth with the state, it just feels like they're no closer to getting that done.
Will it be a domed stadium?
Yes, yes. Either place, okay. It is going to be a dome stadium with no retractable roof.
I mean, I don't know. There are certain places that I don't think should have a dome. Chicago's one of them. But thanks for doing this. As always, I appreciate it. Good information. Have fun in D.C. over the weekend.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Yep. Courtney Cronin, everybody. That's one of those places, Denton. It's Chicago, Soldier Field, wind, cold, weather, late in the season. I mean,
you can't call yourself the Windy City with a dome.
At some point, we're going to have no more football with bad weather potential. It's already limited. All right. Denton's got a bit of a college football preview for this weekend. Notre Dame and Navy tomorrow in a big one. Terps actually have an important game at Minnesota. A couple of big games on the national slate as well. This hour, you're going to hear part of my conversation with Pep Hamilton. Pep Hamilton is a guy that's been in the league for like a quarter century as a coach, offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach. He coached Andrew Luck. He was the offensive coordinator in Indy in some of those years. And he is actually, in many ways, a D.C. guy. And he's going to weigh in on Jaden Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury, somebody he knows well. So you'll hear that this hour. Stanford Steve will jump on with us, too, to talk, actually, Jaden Daniels and the Commanders.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
And Cliff Kingsbury. So you'll hear that coming up. Denton and I have our predictions, but we'll do a college football preview next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.